I hereby introduce to you, Mr. Michael Veazey.
Hey, 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 welcome to Amazing FBA, the place to be for UK-based Amazon entrepreneurs. I'm your host, Michael Veazey. Welcome to the show. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Amazing FBA. This is your host, Michael Veazey. Amazing FBA, the place to be for UK-based Amazon sellers. British Amazon sellers, if you're watching the YouTube version, it says on the board behind me. Well, yes and no. I don't care whether you're British or where you're from. This is not a place for racists or nationalists. I just want to clarify that because there's some strange people out there these days in mainstream politics now. And I don't care where the hell you're from. What I care about is where you're going. And I want to help you get there. So this is basically the only difference is that this is for people based in the UK. In fact, many of my clients have been from all around the globe. This is the wonderful thing about London, very, very international. And I'm very happy about that. And I just wanted to clarify that I've had people with ethnic origins from all over the globe. And I love that. I just want to say that very strongly and clearly in case you get the wrong idea about what I mean by British. So, coming up then, we are going to do a little series of 10 podcasts based around the 10-step build guide, which I created recently. And you can get that amazingfba.com/build, B-U-I-L-D, amazing F for Freddy, B for Bertie, A for alpha.com/B for Bertie, U for uniform, I for indigo, L for Lima, D for Delta. And this is the 10 steps to actually creating and building a real Amazon-based private label business, as opposed to quick kind of quick and dirty things that come and go. Is not a tactical thing. It's a very big picture overview. It's not in and of itself enough to build a business. And I'm not claiming that it is, but I do think it gives you a mental framework within which you can then hang other things. And that's really, really critical point that I'm going to come back to again and again. So what I'm going to do in this particular episode, I'm going to talk about the 10 steps, and then we're going to start on step one, which is about what we all know but don't do. And we'll talk about that in a second. So here are the 10 steps then of the build guide. The first step today, what we all know but don't do, we'll talk about this in a second, but I'll give you a clue. It's about modeling. The second step, how to learn more from $600 than $6,000 spend, or pounds or euros for that matter. And the secret of that is launching in phases, and we'll talk about that in the next episode. Step three is the NSL process, or how the overall process works for each phase, and we'll talk about that in the third episode in this little series. Step four is avoiding wasting $5,000 in one go, so classic errors. And again, this is connected with the idea of launching in phases. We'll talk about that in step four. Step five, why product research fails and what to do instead. Right? And the clue is the word product. That obsessive focus is, I believe, the wrong focus. And there is a correct focus, I think, from experience of people who've done very well, either those I've mentored or those who I know, as well as myself. So step six, the keys to great sourcing. There are some really major do's and don'ts. And again, this is the big picture stuff, but that's also important. Step seven, the new old school launch method that works. It's not rocket science, but it's very, very proven. And I know that from working with some seriously successful sellers using this. Step eight is finding buried treasure in your Amazon business. And the hint there is measuring and understanding the numbers, above all, understanding them. Step nine is when to scale up and when not. Quite different from a lot of the usual advice. And step 10 is the three C's to success with Amazon Private Label. That's the framework you need to build a business as a solopreneur. And the framework you need to build a business is different from the business model that you're building, right? So these 10 steps are guides to help you to build a business. They're not just a business model. They are a model for how to build a business. How that makes sense. So I'm not giving you the blueprints to a house. I'm telling you how to go about the process of designing and then building the house. So it's very big picture, but I think it's a missing part of a lot of the information out there, especially the free information. So let's come back to step one, which is the step we're on right now, which is modeling peak performers, which is the thing that I say we all know but don't do. Why do we say we all know and don't do it? Well, we tend to follow the people that shout the loudest or the people that have a lot of money behind them, or claim to have made a lot of money. And there are some good things about that and some things we need to be careful about. The first thing I would say is modeling peak performers means that I think you need to be working with or looking at people who are experts at modeling. And the most profound example I can think of in this sort of self-development and in even an internet marketing business type industry is the NLP space, where there's a lot of people shouting very loudly about a lot of things. But if you look about the founders of NLP, Bandler and Grinder, Richard Bandler and John Grinder, I think they weren't experts in many areas, although they were experts in linguistics and psychology. So, I mean, they're very, very good backgrounds to have as experts in modeling. But what they did were becoming experts at modeling. And that is the true meaning of NLP to many people. Have a certain amount of background in NLP that I could bore you with over drinks if you like. I mean, I'm not going to talk about it here because I don't think it's relevant to e-commerce. But what is relevant, very, very relevant, is the fact that they, for example, were able to help people become more expert skiers or any other things, and tennis, to name but a few. Why is that? Were they great at playing tennis or skiing? No, they were great at modeling expert skiers and breaking down exactly what it was that differentiated them from the also-rans. And that, I think, is a really key key thing. Another thing I want to say up front is there's a phrase, those who can do and those who can't teach. Very interesting one. I mean, you certainly need to be careful who you follow. And this is what I'm going to talk about for the rest of the episode, who to follow and who not to follow, all the things to watch out for. In the end, it's a very personal decision. So those who can't do, those who can teach, well, to some degree, I believe that you can't teach unless you can do things to a point, but you don't necessarily get stellar results. Here's what I would say. Really stellar results generally come from a blend of really great talent and really great luck, right? So wonderful footballers, wonderful tennis players, wonderful musicians for that matter, are born, not made. I think there is also a lot of hard work, which you can model, and there is a degree of luck, which you cannot model, or rather you can't copy luck. You either get it or you don't. As somebody who was and is a certain degree of talent in music, I can certainly attest to the fact that I got my degrees in French horn playing, for example, or conducting. French horn particularly, I think I just had a certain talent for it. I didn't have great teaching early on. I had great teaching later on. I became a peak performer in that. And to be honest, I was not the greatest teacher for beginners. Why? Because that requires being able to break down for people who are struggling with it, how to make it, how to go from struggling to good. I just arrived at good by talent and hard work. But that is not a process that somebody normally can follow. That is not a great teacher. So I was not a great teacher for beginners in that art. So just because you achieve results doesn't automatically get you make you a great teacher. Having no results in an area also isn't going to make you a great teacher. I think the truth is that a lot of football coaches, whether soccer or American football or whatever else, you're talking Aussie rules or whatever, were not the greatest players of the game, but they had played the game, they understood the game profoundly, but they had to work at it, and they didn't have as much talent possibly as some other people who they pick for their teams. But in the end, you need to be able to break processes down, the modeling bit, and then relate to how people feel and take them through the process. And that, I believe, is the art of the great teacher. So I don't think you should be too obsessed with the people who are achieving great results necessarily, right? So it is part of the picture, but I don't think it's the whole picture. So here's what I would say. First of all, what not to follow, who not to follow. The first place that people go to, Facebook groups. Facebook groups, I think, are like bin diving. Okay, there may be value in some groups. Of course there is. But it's going to be a small percentage of the overall number of people in there. So be selective. There may be value in some groups. I guess it's a bit like the sort of food recycling, movement now, which is a great thing in theory. I think it's wonderful. And there are probably places where you can go to, like if you go to Whole Earth Foods or Whole Foods, I think at the end of the day, sometimes you can pick some great things up. There is a recent thing my wife subscribed to, some app, whose name I forget, and it doesn't matter because it's not e-commerce, but you can go and get food for like half price, quarter price from some wonderful quality places that are going to throw the food out. That's a good example of being selective and maybe paying a little bit of money, but getting great value. That is very different from bin diving, right? Unless you're desperate, you probably shouldn't be going through everybody's bins. I'm not for any second criticizing anyone who's desperate enough to have to do that. That's an extraordinary situation, and I feel sorry for that person. But I don't think my wife and I, as much as we believe in, my wife believes in, you know, food recycling, are going to go and dump through bins, because yes, you'll probably find some food you can eat, but you're going to have to dig through an awful lot of rubbish, and it's going to be depressing and possibly bad for your health. And I think the same is true for the average Facebook group as well. Much of what you hear in those is from the so-called Amazon echo chamber, as Will Churnland puts it. And that is pretty dangerous, because just because everyone's saying it doesn't make it true. So you need some reality check there as well. The other place that people often find or try to find guidance on how to start and indeed build an Amazon business or a private label business is the mixture of Facebook and YouTube and podcasts. I think that just leads to confusion. I say this as somebody who's running a podcast and who's podcasting right now. They have their place. Absorbing info and bits can be wonderful, but it means you have to have a place to integrate it into, which I think is the missing piece out there in terms of the free information anyway. So what? How does it plug into an overall framework? Again, not just a business model, but a framework for building a business, which is different, right? That's like the difference between a blueprint for a house and the scaffolding. If you don't have the scaffolding, you may have a wonderful blueprint for a house. You might even be quite good at brickwork and carpentry of brickwork and masonry work, building walls or even carpentry, but you need the scaffolding to physically go from the blueprint to the making and the building, right? That is the bit that I think is missing. If you're new, how can you integrate information about Amazon ranking into an overall business model? I think the answer is you can't if you don't have an overall framework. The other thing is this: there are multiple ways of doing things, and there's more than one way to make Amazon money. In fact, there's probably 16 different business models outside of private label, such as wholesaling, drop shipping, retail arbitrage, to name but the three most common ones. But there's lots and lots of ways to do private labeling as well. So if you follow 10 different people, you're going to have 10 different views on how to do it all. Now, sure, you may want to distill down what they have in common, and there's nothing wrong with doing that, but it's going to be an awful lot more work and time, and there is a time cost to doing this stuff as well. Just to put opportunity cost in perspective, I was just listening to a podcast with one of my old mentoring clients who has since gone full-time with their Amazon business, Richie Coe. So I hope, Richie Coe, you don't mind me mentioning you, but you're out there on the ETRR podcast, Escape the Rat Race podcast, which is something run by Chris Rodwell, a very good friend of the show. And she would never have got to the point of being able to quit the day job if she was still watching YouTube videos, et cetera, instead of which she took the plunge, paid for some mentoring with me and for a course, and was for a time a part of a mastermind I used to run for people at the early stages. And guess what? It's actually worked for her, and she's escaped from her day job, which is amazing news. But she would still be stuck in that, and the opportunity cost in terms of money lost would have been tens of thousands of dollars, and the opportunity of leaving the day job in some other ways, it's hard to put a price on that. In the end, I think what you need is clear structure and getting clarity from a bunch of things that are designed to get your attention in order to fulfill the needs of the marketer. And that includes podcasts, and that includes some of my podcasts, of course. That may lead to confusion if you follow like 10 different ways of doing things. So, assuming then you're convinced that the free stuff out there, whilst very good to have, of course, in many ways, is not the solution to really creating a structure and a scaffolding in which to build your business. Okay, what do we do? Well, we're probably going to go and either follow a guru, if you like, or a course, or maybe get some training or join a group. And those are all good things. I would start with the word guru. I would claim that I'm not a guru. The word guru, I think it means teacher, but also it implies that they are sort of spiritually, they've had some kind of enlightenment, as I understand it. I'm not a great expert in this, but again, don't need to be, because this isn't really about the true meaning of the word guru in Hindu religion or something, which I really do not claim to know much about. But it's about the way it's used in the sort of internet marketing world, in very much including e-commerce. I think if it means you park your own brain and just do what you're told, you're already lost. And here's why: because an entrepreneur needs to be very independent and very proactive. And in the end, you need to make your own decisions. So you need to start with a framework, just because it saves you time and you don't reinvent the wheel, which is very, very expensive, both in terms of money, but also time, which is the one thing you cannot get back. You can spend money, you can make money, but you cannot do anything but spend time, right? So I think it's very good to save time, but never to just park your brain. So I would say the word guru is risky because of the mental relationship it implies. And I get that as well. I get people coming to me as a quotes guru, which I hate that word. And I definitely not. I do not claim that whatsoever, right? I'm just a guy who's done a hell of a lot in a particular space and become, I guess, a specialist and has a lot of things to offer from just repeated experience. So the main thing is this. You get people, I get people coming to me who want to kind of park responsibility for, and they want a guarantee. And parking responsibility for their own business success is guaranteeing failure because they don't have a proactive mindset, so that I'm going to guarantee they're going to fail. And I don't work with those guys because they want something I can't offer. Somebody asked me for a guarantee of an outcome, and I said, no, I cannot possibly offer you that. And I understand why he does that, but I suggest that that is not a mindset that's going to serve you, and I'm afraid I can't take your money and I can't help you. So I turn down business from that reason. The other thing is that you just have to be proactive. You cannot park responsibility, but you cannot park curiosity. You know what? I'm searching here. I'm not putting things very well. I don't think you can park the need to get over your own fear. You know, if you're asking somebody to hold your hand too much in a very competitive business environment, which is any kind of internet-based business whatsoever, I would argue, and that includes e-commerce, that includes Amazon, I don't think you're ready for the fight, in which case you need to get yourself ready by working on your own mentality. So that's not something I can particularly help with. I'm not a life coach, I guess. I'm not a psychotherapist. I'm not those things. So, bit abstract, but I think there is a relationship between how you feel and your own mentality and the gurus / courses that you're looking for. I think you need to look for a teacher, and I think you need to look for education and training, and you need to take that seriously, and you need to follow what it does, but you don't need to do so slavishly, but you need to do it so intelligently and with your own responsibility. There you go. That's my summary on that. So, courses and gurus, who to follow, who not to follow. Here's a few do's and don'ts. First of all, the don'ts, based on hearsay only, is too abstract. So if somebody hasn't done it themselves, they don't know what it's feel like, that means you can't deal with the psychology of fear and greed, which is critical. We all feel fear, we all feel greed. We have to deal with these twin imposters, if you like. And having done it yourself means you're in a position to help other people do it, right? The other thing is it's hard to get people to trust you if you haven't done something yourself. If I hadn't sold on Amazon a lot, then I wouldn't be able to get people to believe that I know what I'm doing, and rightly so. The other thing is it's impossible to judge Facebook warriors or the latest tactics and strategies if you don't have a deep insight from doing something yourself about what will and what won't work. So that's a fairly obvious one, right? Now, here's the second one, which is a lot more subtle, which is most people who are out there offering Amazon training have done massive numbers on Amazon, or at least claim to have done. I do not claim that. I claim that I've done into the six figures marks, $100,000 plus my own account, and between myself and business partners' businesses, over a quarter of a million, which is a starting point for knowing that I have actually achieved something, and I know from experience what goes on. But I certainly do not claim to have done $1 million a year, $2 million, $5 million, like a lot of people do. And you know what? That's great, and those are people you should consider following, because that is not an easy thing to achieve. Here's what I would say about that, though. Basing it on one seller's experience is too narrow, in my experience, my opinion, even if they've done really, really well. Here's why. Number one, each market category on Amazon is different. Some are very seasonal, like toys. Some of them problematic because of low demand, like if you're in the UK particularly. Some of them are hyper-competitive, the opposite problem. For example, supplements, for example, in a lot of markets in the USA. And those are very, very different problems to have. Hyper-competition is probably the bigger problem on Amazon, but you can find, particularly in Europe, that there are some areas where just not enough demand is the problem. And those are quite different problems to deal with. The second reason why basing something on one seller's experience is too narrow, success once or twice can just be luck, and luck is not a strategy. Now, I wouldn't say that somebody doing seven figures consistently is just luck. It probably isn't. But the fact that they grew it so fast can be luck. And basing it on one experience is just luck is not a strategy, as I say. And I think That comes down to the third thing, which is particular people at certain times had a particular easing starting. For example, in 2013, if you happen to work with supplements in 2012, 2013 in the USA, maybe you did well with a bit of luck and you made a killing. There are people who did that, naming no names, who created courses that I took, which turned out to have no clue whatsoever about sourcing from China, which is where most people are going to be sourcing from unless you're selling supplements or topicals. I'm not saying don't sell topicals. Supplements are famously competitive, but I do have a couple of clients in the Million Pound Mastermind and other places that have done well with supplements, but it's really, really hard. So if that's an example, that course that I took, people who've done massive numbers, but based around supplements in the USA. And guess what? If you were trying to sell it anywhere else and you were trying to sell anything else other than supplements, they were useless at helping you. I was quite cross about the lack of information that they gave me because that cost me months and months of my time to try and recreate the wheel in terms of sourcing from China. So there's an example of success in one place isn't necessarily duplicatable. Something else, if you started in 2013 and you've become a multi-million dollar seller, fantastic, great, that's a real achievement. Most people who started then did not achieve that. Having said that, that isn't really very helpful for somebody starting in 2019, 2020 and beyond, because what worked then won't work now, right? So being based on something that worked 5 years ago is way too out of date. Amazon changes rapidly. Whole strategies that worked 5 years ago are a disaster now. For example, going for supplements most of the time. Tactics that were powerful to use 3 years ago will get your Amazon account permanently suspended now. Most famously, the review manipulation allegations if you just ask people for a five-star review. And yes, most responsible course trainers are not going to be giving you that now, but that may have been how they built their businesses back in the day. Nothing wrong with that, no criticism of that, but that doesn't place them very well to help you create your business now from scratch, if that's where it's coming, or from a low level and with the tactics that work there. So just to clarify where I'm coming from and where our work's based, doesn't mean you should or shouldn't go for it, but I believe that you should know where we come from and then you can make your own decision. First of all, I've been selling on Amazon personally for about 4 years. I've talked about that before, so the kind of turnover is pretty modest, but at least I've been out in the trenches for a substantial time and I've seen the changes over time as well, so I've got some perspective. I'm not basing something on 12 months worth of experience or something. The second thing is interviewing serious power sellers for the podcast, private connections as well in the UK. So the podcast, that's been over about 3.5 years of interviews as well. So I've got really long perspective on what works now, what still works, what are the longer term perspectives that work and strategies, and what are the things that have changed with time. I've got private connections in the UK to power sellers who are doing over £100,000 a month or seven figures a year comfortably, and I've been in those for about 4 years now as well. And then the 10K Collective, or maybe like 3.5 years as well. I'm trying to figure out roughly how long it is. And then the 10K Collective Mastermind, the collective turnover is about $50 million a year, 15, I should say. This group, which I've run since September 2017, is full of power sellers. I mean, most of them are doing several $100,000 a month upwards. The most successful sellers in that have about doubled turnover since they joined, which is about 22 months ago. So this is a very, very up-to-date insight across multiple different business categories and different marketplaces. Some of them sell in the UK only and a bit of Germany. Some sell in the US mostly. And I get to see the inside of those businesses month in, month out for a long period. And that's been the most incredible learning for me. And that is the thing that I can pass on. Success leaves clues, as they say. So the power sellers that I know, probably about 40 of the UK's seven figure per year sellers do things differently. I capture and codify that and pass that on to my clients. As I said, the ability to model things and the ability to teach people at the early stages are quite different from the luck plus talent to do things at a high level yourself. That doesn't necessarily mean you can break it down for people. A lot of the time I find that the selling courses out there are very positive and get people into motion, which is great. The Americans are particularly good at that, and hats off to them for their can-do attitude. But here's the thing, if it's not based on some kind of reality, you're going to hit a wall and you won't bounce. You know, you just fall over and don't get back up. And most people just quit. And that is the problem I've seen. So you need to have a positive mentality, but I think you need to base it on really strong reality checks as well, so that you don't go in with a crazy idea that it's going to be easy. I mean, I think it's more like an epic sea voyage, just to wrap things up with a bit of a metaphor. Recently been reading a book. It's actually a kind of comic book, but it's fiction, but it's based on quite a lot of decent research that reminded me of the whole reason why companies were invented back in the day. I believe that the Dutch invented limited companies. I'm going to have some German or French person or Italian on the phone to me next telling me that I got it wrong. But the UK certainly were, the English back in the day were very quick to emulate that. And the reason was because the English had a massive navy and a big naval tradition, and they used to send merchant ships off to seek their fortune. And what do you need to do? Well, number one, you need to have a genuine opportunity, often involving importing from abroad. So that hasn't gone out of fashion. I mean, that's still what a lot of Amazon businesses are based around. Differentiation between the labor or the goods you can get in often in the Far East, and that's still the case today, and the amount you can sell them for in Britain. I mean, that was true for spices back in the day, which were worth, some of them worth more than their weight in gold. That's not normally the case for Amazon products, by the way. But so you got to have a prize worth winning. Then you got to have manageable competition. You got to be able to compete. And then you've got to allow for the fact that you've got to see that it's a risky venture, and the game's got to be worth the candle. But nevertheless, there is risk, and the job is not to pretend it doesn't exist, because then you'll come completely a cropper. You need to acknowledge the risk and do it the right way. Number one, by setting up a limited company, which is what people did. So they limited the downsides and their liability. Number two, by building a solid craft to sail the seas. Number three, by getting experienced crew on board to make sure that if a storm, the inevitable storms and problems came up, that they could handle it and stay afloat. And those are, broadly speaking, still true for business ventures today. I mean, we no longer use vehicles like literally a ship of our own, but we do literally put goods on ships from the Far East. So it's not as different as you might think. Actually, there's still risk there. The risk of containers falling into the sea is not that great, to be honest. The risks are more posed by the competition once you get on Amazon. But the risks are still there. And actually, 10,000 containers a year do fall into the sea. So there's a small risk to the containers, but much more importantly, the risk of competition. But in the end, you need to have a mixture of a spirit of daring do and some courage and some conviction. Make sure that the prize is worth winning, but also you need to protect yourself against the downsides and go in a very, very structured way and learn from other people's mistakes so you don't have to recreate them, and build a seaworthy business vessel, a vehicle, if you like. So those are the things that we're working towards in our approach. So we've done the steps of who to follow, who to model, and just some things to watch out for. The next thing we're going to do, step two, is how to learn more from $600 spend than $6,000 spend, which is about launching in phases, which is one of the things that I think makes our message with the private label process course quite different to other guru types out there. This, by the way, is the backbone of our private label process, which is the backbone both to the course that we sell and the mentoring that I provide as well. If you want to check out the course, go to amazingfba.com/PLP. That's amazing. F for Freddie, B for Bertie, A for alpha.com/P for Peter, L for Lima, P for Peter, stands for private label process. And if you want to check out mentoring one-to-one with me, if you need more hands-on help, amazingfba.com/mentoring, M-E-N-T-O-R-I-N-G. And just to quickly reiterate again, if you haven't got the build guide yet, which is completely free PDF, nicely presented, I think, which gives the overall framework to how to build an Amazon business, that's is the critical framework, I think, on which you can put all other bits of information, then go to amazingfba.com/build. That's amazingfba.com/B-U-I-L-D for Delta. Thank you so much for listening. Speak to you in the next podcast.